Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, and that fire is lit because the ladies are showing up and showing out. It's Janae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's the First Take Her Takeover Part 2, or should I say Part 3, with my sis, Chinee Ogumike and Monica McKnight. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Now, my girl Monica, I'm so excited to be here with you because you are another basketball analyst here at ESPN on the NBA coverage. We see you doing your thing on the ACC network. You also take your talents to Madison Square Garden to cover the Knicks. You're a former hooper at Georgetown. Girl, you know what's funny? We get into all these fights and all guys are like, let's play two-on-two. Like Dan Orlovsky challenges me all the time. Let's play. And you know who my first pick is at all times? It's you, sis.
Okay, let's get it.
You look, I feel like we would absolutely win, you and I versus Dan Orlovsky and Mike Golic Jr.
Oh, done. It's done. Say less.
I mean, easy buckets, easy buckets.
Now inside out, like we working. Let's get it.
Yeah. Oh, slight. What were we talking about? Easy money. We're talking about Kevin Durant all the time. That would be so easy.
Sniper.
Easy money.
24/7. Let's go.
Now, Monica, this hour, I love it because our girl gang continues to get deeper and deeper. We started off the show with Kimberly A. Martin and Charlie Arnold on the First Take Her Takeover, which you can check out the podcast that drops every Wednesday. But we'll also soon be joined by Christine Williamson, who does an excellent job hosting here at ESPN, especially digitally. But she's also a former volleyball star at Miami, and she'll join us because, whoa, child, these tournaments for the women.
The ghetto. The ghetto.
She said, the ghetto. What was that? Nene, right?
Ooh, yes.
Child, the ghetto.
Ooh, child, the ghetto.
We'll get to that. We'll get to the ghetto in about 10 minutes. But, oh, stop. Look, shoot, we got to stay in the ghetto because, look, we had conversations come up about Draymond Green. He stepped back to the mic. And I want to get your take here. Because obviously Megan Rapinoe stood up for a lot of women because that's what she does, using her platform to amplify the voices. Considering in women's sports, she's fortunate to have one of the largest. And so when Draymond Green made his claims earlier this week, or even like last week, about how the women's game needs to do X, Y, or Z, like he had all the answers, she hit back. And now Draymond Green recently now was responding to Megan Rapinoe's comments and said that he obviously thinks his comments were, quote, extremely misconstrued. He said that I am on their side. At the end of the day, what Megan wants and what I want is the same thing. He said, and if she believes that doing a certain way to get her to her end goal, I'm for all of that. And if I believe doing a certain way gets to the end goal, this is Draymond speaking, I'm all for that. For if we can both be doing things that move the needle to get to the end goal, that's great. I have no complaints with whatever it is that she wants to do, or any woman athlete, or anyone that's trying to help drive their cause and what they want to be done. It doesn't really matter to me how you get there. What does matter is that we get there. So when you see this ping pong, this oscillation back and forth between Draymond Green and a lot of people that have stood up to challenge his initial thoughts, what are you thinking, Monica?
Okay, so one time I did SportsCenter and I was talking about something and I gave an eye roll and Nicole Briscoe said, wow, that was an aggressive eye roll, but that's what we needed. And so let me give you this. Very aggressive eye roll to this whole thing. First of all, I'm a little bit agitated, Janae, because it feels like the actual goal is being hijacked here. We are talking about a man who is a pro and has been very successful. No knock on Dre. But we're talking about his comments in regards to the women's game. And I don't know about you. You seen any report about any dollars or, you know, creating any platforms? Like, is this just talk? Like, what are we doing? And so I'm a little bit frustrated that the headline continues to be what Draymond says as opposed to what women are doing. I mean, let's get on the three different fire jerseys for every WNBA team that just came out. You know what I mean? So this is a little bit frustrating. And I also think for all of us, and I know I have been really sitting with this over the course of 2020 and as we head into 2021, when you are attempting to be an ally, align with, support a marginalized group, however, whatever the case may be, however you identify a group that has been underserved and underrepresented, and you are in a position of power representing mainstream, close your mouth, do more listening than talking. It's hard for me to say, Draymond, you're right. It was extremely misconstrued when the soundbite was the soundbite. We didn't go and read this. We pulled up the video clip that went viral and watched you pontificate as if you are Professor Answer for Everything. And that's not the case. And so now, if your original comments are being misconstrued, something in your communication has not been effective. So stop talking and listen. I think that that's the part that is very frustrating for me to this, because if he actually listened to almost all of the women that I heard respond, I know I felt this way, you felt this way, no one said that he had ill intentions. No one said that at all. And I think when things are misconstrued, the intention sometimes is questioned. Everybody believes that Draymond's heart is in the right place. But dude, we're giving you the benefit of the doubt. Over and over, we've just said that you missed the mark on this potential, this particular issue. Stop talking and listen. That's all I want. Just listen thoroughly.
Listen. This is Glee ESPN over here, Monica McNutt. And that's one of my favorites.
I thought this was Dreamgirls.
That was the whole point. I'm glad you picked that up, and that's why I appreciate you 24/7. Okay. I think it might have been cultural if Junior was here. It's all good. It's Chanel Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio, streaming live on ESPN Plus. Chanel Gomeke and Monica McNutt. And while he is sort of clapping back, or at least trying to explain himself, he continued to talk, and he went on Kevin Durant's The Etcetera's podcast. And, you know, in fairness, let's switch gears from, because I feel like I need the spirit of the ancestors to continue to talk about what the, what we need when it comes to Draymond. But he said on KD's podcast, you know, when talking about the young talent in the league, there's more talent around the league than there's ever been. From a talent standpoint, the league is in a good space. But as pure basketball lovers who love competition at the highest level, I think they got to catch up in that department. They soft as hell. I found myself trying to talk-ish to some of these young dudes that won't talk, and they're like trying to be my friend. That's what these young dudes do nowadays. I don't understand it. So as he continues to talk, but this time about the young players, is he being misconstrued there, or is there truth to what he's saying, Monica?
There probably is some truth to it, but the irony in this for me, Janae, is that all of this stuff is cyclical. Do we not remember when Charles Barkley had things to say about Draymond and Draymond didn't like it? When Shaq, vice versa, like when the old heads was talking about him, he was had something to say. So now if any of the young guys feel like they want to say something, then I think they have the right to say that. Here's the thing about the league. The NBA, similar to the NFL, right? Pro sports is catered toward offense, right? I would be hard-pressed to think of any specific rule changes over the span of Draymond's career. But if we're now dealing with, what are rookies in the league? 19 in some cases, right? You know, 19, let's say 19 to 22 is your rookie. They are, that many days ago, they was playing AAU basketball under a system that was emulating the NBA game, which was geared toward offense. So, you know, they picked up whatever habits and expect calls at that level, and that is just matriculated all the way through. So for me, I'm not really alarmed by this. It's kind of a duh thing, but I don't think that soft is in terms of them not necessarily wanting to compete. They just kind of were groomed into a system that catered toward offense. So they look for calls. I mean, the friendship thing, I don't know if I buy him on that, because y'all been friends for a long time. Stop acting like you some super tough villain that don't like nobody in the league except your teammates. Mm-mm.
This is why I love Monica McNutt. All I have to say is cosign, retweet. My girl is here holding it down for my boo, Mike Golick Jr. And don't forget, he'll be back soon, because we've got a really big event coming up. Come hang with us, Chanae and Golick Jr., for a virtual Q&A in advance of the big NFL draft. Join us on Tuesday, April 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern time as we hop on Zoom. Yes, you can hop on Zoom with us and answer your questions. That's what we'll do. Registration is free, but space is limited. So make sure you register right now. And I've got the key and codes. Get a pen. At bit.ly/CGJ421. That's all lowercase. Again, that's bit.ly/CGJ421. All lowercase. When you register, be sure to submit your questions about the draft, The Bachelor, basketball, my booze, Good Eats, anything, really, for a chance to really give you a shout out and show you love for showing us love each and every day here on ESPN Radio. But let's stay on this, because, my Lord, we started off with the ghetto. Well, we really need to step it up when it comes to women in sports, because problems with the NCAA Women's Hoops Tournament seem to have spilled over now to volleyball. The tournament's venue, the lack of announcers, have drawn some criticism from coaches. And we will go to one of our network's hosts and stars that played volleyball to take us behind the scenes next on Chanae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chanae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Before we get into what's happening as the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament is upcoming, we need to go straight to Augusta for an update. It's Chanae and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. Chanae Ogwumike and Monica McNutt holding it down. So let me start the whisper, cue the music. Our producer, Connor, is wearing a Masters shirt. And so, Connor, what's the leaderboard looking like right now?
All right, let's start at the top. Justin Rose maintains his lead after shooting even today. In second, Devin Kane, our producer's boy, Will Zalatoris, is in second at 6 under. And Brian Harmon, a University of Georgia graduate, where I also graduated from, is also at 6 under to round out the
Go
top
Dogs!
Three.
Oh, okay. There we go. I knew that was going to come through. Thank you so much for nailing the tone. The master is so exciting, of
course. Except the Go Dogs part.
Yeah, the Go Dogs. I know, right? Like, of course Devin's going to insert himself. I'm surprised he's been this quiet this whole time.
I was waiting for you to bring me in, Shanae.
Never, family. Of course. This is my show. Junior's not here, okay? No, of course I will. I'll bring you in. Maybe as we keep that same energy. But my goodness, this is horrible because the energy that was kept when it comes to the NCAA, unfortunately, as of late, has not been great. So this is what's going down. Fresh off the heels of issues with the women's tournament, coaches of the two of the top teams in the NCAA Division I volleyball tournament complained yesterday about the setup for the event with Wisconsin's. I mean, and if you don't know, Wisconsin is a powerhouse program when it comes to volleyball. Wisconsin's Kelly Sheffield saying that it could continue to shine an unfavorable light on the treatment of female athletes by college sports governing body, the NCAA, because obviously, you know, ESPN is going to stream the first two rounds on digital platforms without play-by-play announcers or analysts. And so that's a unique transition for a lot in the volleyball world. Obviously, there's a lot of moving parts just because they're moving it to a single site location and it's less teams available this year to compete. But overall, this is just the lack of preparation on the NCAA. And Monica, around these parts here on Shanae and Golic Jr., anytime we talk about college, we do it through the lens of one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
One and Done is brought to you by Napa. Whether it's next day delivery or getting involved in their local communities, Napa goes above and beyond to serve you because their motto never quits. That's Napa know-how. Now, for this conversation, we're delighted to be bringing in Christine Williamson, an excellent ESPN host and reporter. Also, volleyball star from Miami joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Christine, obviously we see, and the quote from Coach Sheffield saying, I really hope they take a closer look at that. I have a feeling that could blow up as much as the weight room stuff did in women's basketball. It's stunning that they're not having a broadcast team. To me, it's just lazy. Again, this is the NCAA that's in charge of the leadership, and unfortunately, the decision is to not have play-by-play announcers. So, Christine, as someone from the volleyball family, when you heard of this, what did you think?
Hey, y'all. First of all, I would like to say that I feel like my price just went up because I am so incredibly excited to be joining you guys on Shanae and Golic Jr. Yes. That is bad. That's not great. I think there are multiple issues going on here because that's not even the worst part. I think baseline, we have an expectation of health and safety as student athletes, right? And even before they found out about the announcers, they saw the courts, and these courts are, I don't know if you guys know what sport court is, but it's sport court that lays, it's just laying directly on cement. So baseline, it's not even seemingly a safe place for student athletes to be able to play volleyball. So that's one thing, right? Our athletes can possibly be injured here. Another thing is the fact that there aren't going to be locker rooms offered for student athletes until the Elite Eight, which, where are you supposed to change? I don't know if you guys have ever watched a volleyball game, but student athletes change in between after they do warmups, right? So where are they supposed to change? There's that issue. But then, like you said, there's also the situation with not having a broadcast team, and you're just going to watch volleyball games with a camera set up and just watching it, and there's no commentary. Now, here's the thing that I think is great about the volleyball community is the fact that people are now saying that they don't mind working for free, but we shouldn't have to do that. Like, it shouldn't be to a point where announcers are saying, hey, I'll call the game for absolute free so that there's an actual call for these games. So it's just a hot mess. Dave Shondell, the Purdue head coach, said it's Bush League. I just feel like the word is bootleg because Bush League at least is still a professional situation. And this is just all bad.
Christine Williamson, ESPN host and reporter, former volleyball player, star at Miami. And you said, someone said Bush League, you say bootleg. We've been saying the ghetto here. Monica, what do you think when you hear that after following especially the women's tournament and covering it and seeing their issues there as well?
You know, Janae and Christine, I think step one, and this is where Tony Riley actually asked me this on Around the Horn last week. He asked if what we saw in the women's tournament, if it would be a tipping point. And step one in creating a tipping point, right? Shout out to the Malcolm Gladwell book. I'm sure we all have a Malcolm Gladwell book somewhere on our bookshelves because we're smart, accomplished women. Step one to identifying a tipping point or creating a tipping point is identifying the issue and not hiding from it, right? And I think that's what we saw on the women's side as we hear the comparisons being made to what happened with the NCAA tournaments. This to me is the same thing. And so I applaud those coaches. I applaud those players. You got to call out the nonsense so that we can identify it. In a weird way, y'all. Of course, my heart goes out to the over 500,000 that we've lost as a result of this pandemic and this horrible disease of COVID-19. But the pandemic has put pressure on institutions in a way that has exposed them for not serving their entire group, right? Like, we could take this way left into politics. I'm not going there right now. I'm talking specifically about the NCAA. But having to create a single site event, we don't see the disparities in the women's treatment of the women's basketball tournament, if not for that. And we definitely probably don't have this experience for the volleyball tournament. So in a weird way, you know, when things have to come together quickly under duress, it really exposes that this institution that says it serves all of its athletes, 20 plus sports, whatever is represented, and puts out those commercials about athletes going pro in something other than sports, is actually not serving the people that they're supposed to be championing. And that, to me, is great cause for concern and really needs to be reviewed.
Absolutely. Again, having you two queens on here, I get to do this twice. Co-sign, retweet. Appreciate you, Christine Williams, in joining us, ESPN host and reporter. And also, I mean, girl, like, I love playing volleyball. When you come out here to Los Angeles, let's hit the beach.
Ooh, Janae, don't start her. She would love to be in LA.
Yo, Janae, I don't know if you know this. I don't mean to. I mean, obviously, you guys just won a national championship in basketball, so I feel like I can say this. But do you know that Stanford volleyball won the tournament last time, and they're not even in the field of 48 this year? What's going on with that?
See, what had happened was, sis, your connection is cutting out. I know we won last year, but when you talk about this year, your connection is cutting out. But I appreciate you nonetheless, Christine. Love you, boo-boo. Bye, Christine.
Love you guys. Bye.
You know, Monica, that's my thing here on Janae Gold Jr. Anytime I hear something I don't like, I'm like, oh, sorry, what? Huh?
Listen, child, I'm just going to skip right over. And next question, because we run this.
We run this thing, yes. And it's crazy because it seems like when it comes down to the NCAA, it's like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me for putting this expectation on the NCAA again for them to shepherd the system that really is supposed to celebrate the women. But instead, we keep having issues. And it makes me think of the phrase, even when you win, you lose. Because unfortunately, that analogy still applies to an NBA star. And I don't like it in the NBA. Find out who next on Janae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live. Come look at the beautiful ladies on ESPN Plus. Mm-hmm.
I got my lip gloss popping.
Janae and Golden Jr., the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, won't he do it? We are delivered. It's Janae and Golden Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus. It's the First Take, Her Takeover, Part 3. Myself, Janae Ogwumike, and Monica McNutt, both basketball analysts. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And guess what, Monica? We have some breaking news.
Yeah, I caught you only do it. I loved it. That was well done, sis. Go ahead.
Did you hear the delivered, like with the T?
I did. Delivered.
Delivered. We just talked to Christine Williamson, ESPN host and reporter and former volleyball star at Miami. We were just talking about the struggle with the venue when it comes to the NCAA women's tournament, when it comes to volleyball, their lack of announcers. And now the breaking news, ESPN with the statement.
ESPN is
committed to presenting the NCAA volleyball championship in its entirety for the first time this year, including the first and second round matches. Despite the variety of challenges related to the pandemic, all 47 matches will be live on an ESPN platform and will include commentators. So clearly, when we joke around here and we say, oh, yeah, the bosses aren't listening, well, clearly they are. Okay, Monica?
Slow clap, girlfriend clap, like whatever clap, clap it up, snap
That's
it up.
That's my best friend. Yes.
Come on, she a real bad. Okay, can we sing on radio? I don't know the rules.
We sing all the time here on radio. And
good to know.
Yeah, but the only thing is, like, they record it, so be careful, sis.
Okay.
It's all good.
Copy.
So clearly,
we love this. Yeah.
Yes, we do love it. And at ESPN, clearly, they're listening to us, the women. We love that. But unfortunately, I don't know if we've been paying as great attention to what Russell Westbrook has been doing. And this is where I get really mad and frustrated. Now, Russell Westbrook, it's just now reached to the point where he's averaging a triple-double again. But it seems like everyone has stopped caring, Monica, because he's averaging 21.8 points, 10.6 assists, 10.5 rebounds a night. Now, people tend to more now care about the Wizards, their record, because they're 18-32. And a lot of the subliminal facts that are tough are is that the Wizards, they're 4.7 points worse per 100 possessions when Russ is on the floor, the worst mark on the team for anyone who's played at least 300 minutes. Now, this is a cold world, no snuggie. I think what Russell Westbrook brings to the game, I mean, it's just that ferocity, the tenacity. He plays so hard. He's so committed. And he's almost defied a little bit of expectation when it comes to sustaining that athletic greatness, especially from the point guard position. But I don't know if you caught this, Monica. You saw that beef between Stephen A. and Russell Westbrook?
I peeped. Shout out to Nina.
Yeah. Oh, shout out to Nina. Another Hooper, a boss lady, played at UCLA. That's where they met. Yes. Obviously, mm-hmm. They're married. And I hate it because as players ourselves, it's hard to see this criticism and think that it's fair because we know he's giving his best on a night-to-night basis. But do you think, Monica, that, you know, at this point is in his career, that's not enough?
Why you go to Stanford, Chene? Let's just do this. Why did you go to Stanford?
Best of both worlds, academics and athletics, and to be great and to win.
Okay. What's the last part again?
To win, sis.
I mean, and we are both athletes. Like, obviously Georgetown wasn't quite a national championship caliber program, but I remember saying, this is a great academic institution, but I want to have my hand and my imprint on helping a program win. I didn't want to just sit the bench. But you and I both said it, wanting to win. And you know, Russell Westbrook is one of my favorite athletes, and he's talked at length. I think it was the GQ piece he did a few years ago, where he's talked about the NBA wasn't necessarily his dream, his vision. Because that's not what he thought was going to happen. So getting to the league in and of itself represented success for him. However, he's one of the most competitive people in the league. He's one of the most talented and high motor guys in the league. And so while these numbers individually are very impressive, athletes just don't play typically for individual accolades. And if they do, oftentimes that is not something that they're able to hide. And that's how they're treated, right? Like, they're not seen as guys that want to win. To my knowledge, Russ has always wanted to win, and right now the Wizards are not winning. And so these numbers are getting overlooked when you talk about the context of who is going to be the NBA title holding team at the end of the 2021 season. And so it's unfortunate. I think we're sleeping on something that's very, very impressive. I mean, you look at the class of guys that anytime somebody's name is thrown into the same sentence as Oscar Robertson, come on, man. Like, I am not taking anything away from it. But in the context and the reality of the NBA being a results-driven industry in terms of team success, the Wizards are, what did you say the Wizards were? 30, let me look at it. 30-18? 18-32?
Yeah, it's 18-32.
I mean,
yeah, it says itself. It's Chenango Jr. on ESPN Radio, Chenango McKay and Monica McKnight. Talking about Russell Westbrook, I want to see him win. I want to see him win a championship. And the reality is he's had so many great teammates, whether it's Kevin Durant and James Harden when they were in OKC, teaming up with James Harden again in Houston. Now you've got Bradley Beal, who was lit the NBA on fire, you know, especially scoring the ball. There is going to be an expectation to do more, and that's the hardest part. But he's still winning. Like, we all know this. We come from the Hooper's land. Yeah. Now, this is the weekend preview brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. And I say the weekend preview because this weekend is going to have a lot of fun. Like, when it comes to hoops, all right, sis? Because earlier on SportsCenter today, we were talking about the matchup between the 76ers and the Pelicans, and I know Cliff and TV is going to be mad, but I got my girl here to talk NBA, and so I'm going to lean all the way into it. This weekend, I'm really excited because we've got that one this weekend. Yeah. We've got the Lakers, obviously hitting the floor, I believe, on ABC tomorrow. But I want to stick with this one right here, Joel Embiid versus Zion. Obviously, two forces in the paint. Where do you see Zion's trajectory right now, and also as you compare to Joel Embiid and what his trajectory is with the expectations going on this season?
It's kind of eerie when you compare the two of them, right? Like, Joel had that foot thing that kind of lingered. We were uncertain about his health. Zion obviously had last year with the injury, was put on that crazy restriction. And this year, first of all, I will admit right here, right now, hand to God, I was one of those people that was like, I don't know who Zion's going to guard. I'm not sure about his weight and his body composition. I have been silenced. Lips are zipped. Like, I have nothing to say because Zion is clearly handling his business. Now, long term, and I even think Joel will admit to coming into this season, we heard him talking spots about committing to being in the best shape possible, taking his game to the next level. So I do think that there is something to be said for being mindful of your body and figuring out what is the best way to create the best NBA body for results. But I think there's a lot of similarities here. Now, the Sixers went and got Joel help in a big time way, right? The Pelicans have some work to do in that category. But when we're talking about individual players, I think I have heard different things about focus on Zion, but I think part of that is that he's young. I do not question whether or not he wants to win or wants to be great. I think we sometimes dismiss the learning curve for an athlete in totality, not just the playbook, but the entire lifestyle, right? Like resisting the beignets in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? Down to the little things.
I cannot.
I'm saying, Janae, for real. Like, so I think that there are certainly things for Zion to glean from Joel. But I think that the part that is most impressive to me is that even though this team has hit a rough skid and is struggling a bit right now, he's still, when he gets on the floor, you're not questioning whether or not he's giving you his best.
That's a fact. I just want to make this note, producer Shannon, did you see how Cliff, our Philly native, had the Joel Embiid video B-roll ready to go? Because he said, oh, you were talking about this before in the show and you didn't tell me, but you had Joel Embiid ready. I see you, Cliff. We've been in Hoops Heaven here with Monica McNutt. It's been so much fun the last few days with the ladies taking over. And as we keep that same energy, y'all, the funniest thing happened on First Take. And it's involving my girl right here. Find out exactly what happened with Eminem. We'll get to that right after this on Janae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live on ESPN Plus.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Oh, Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus. It's the First Take, Her Take Over Part 3, maybe. Janae Ogumike and Monica McNutt. And it's been a long week, and I've been so blessed and so fortunate to have an amazing crew that has joined us. A lot of ladies, but first, let's give the men their props. Ryan Smith. Oh, you want a timeout?
Hold on, timeout, sis, because I got to give you more flowers. Like, you have had a hell of a week. Like, 3 hours, 2 hours in the morning, 3 hours every day. Like, don't be casual. It has been an incredible week. We love watching you shine. We love watching you put on for us. We love watching you bring the heat. So don't just be like, long week. You deserve like 5 weeks of vacation, but you can't do that right now because you got a season coming up.
Wait. Oh, man. Dang it. We were so close. You got to be quicker than that. Monica, I appreciate you. And it's been so much fun. It's been family time. Mm-hmm. And speaking of the amazing family that came through, Ryan Smith, ESPN legal analyst who broke down Deshaun Watson's latest legal moves, you know, in the wake of the sexual assault and misconduct allegations that he's facing. Field Yates, ESPN NFL insider, who answered the question if Bill Belichick is on the hot seat. And he also gave his takes on the NBA MVP conversation, and he agreed with Monica, so he's doing his thing. Very grateful to talk about the ladies, because it's been the First Take, Her Take Over, starting with Christine Williamson, who just joined us, and we talked about the NCAA Women's Volleyball Tournament, and we had the best version of breaking news. Make sure you check out our podcast, Janae and Golic Jr., for the breaking news. And also, I mean, she's an amazing host and reporter and former volleyball star as well. We should have had, like, I'm so glad she's finally here on Janae and Golic Jr. But it started with, you know, First Take, Her Take, Charlie Arnold, who joined, and I loved how she gave perspective on playing referee between Max and Stephen A almost every day, and Kimberly A. Martin, our NFL reporter extraordinaire, who gave us the tea on draft prospects and showed love to Justin Fields, because we still are trying to understand why he's slipping. We don't get it. But last but not least, Monica McNutt, baby, basketball analyst. You see her on MSG Network, you see her on ACC Network, you see her on ESPN. And the reason I have energy is because of you, because we are tag teaming everything these days.
Come on.
So I appreciate you just equally. You're the real MVP. But look, our whole thing started yesterday because we were on First Take and you came on and we had a lot of fun and we started rolling. So let's keep that same energy so we can show you exactly what happened was.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy levels was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You can just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Keep That Same Energy is brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. So we were on First Take yesterday, and we were having a good old time just going back to back with basketball takes. And just watch this
timing.
To see exactly
I
what
swear.
Went down.
in here. I didn't really do my thing. I'm gonna go bounce. No, you show out where you are. You go somewhere else. So that's the difference to me. So that's my, I hear what you're saying, but I'm gonna just play a little devil's advocate for you.
Okay. Okay. Before I get my answer, who got a home phone? That's so
okay,
so
relax. Nice. That, why you don't have to bring that up on TV.
She's in demand. Why is the youngest person here with a landline? Who has a landline?
Listen, don't see y'all about to make me sweat. Y'all embarrassing me on my first trip.
Look, it's okay. I got you, sis. This is hilarious. I'll settle this.
So that's what happened. Monica was live on First Take, making her First Take debut. Mind you, this woman is on for world domination. On First Take, going on The Jump, holding it down on SportsCenter, doing her thing on the ACC network. And she got caught up. See, sis, you could have, we could have talked. I could have told you if there is a landline in the vicinity where I've worked, where there are landlines, you know what I had to do? I've been burned that same way. So I had to go and unplug that landline. But it's okay, man. It's
all right. The hilarious thing is, as you were leading to that segment, the phone rang again. I don't know if you heard it.
Silent or unplugged, sis. Is that the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you all on TV?
I mean, yeah, I guess. And in that way, that's a blessing because things can go way left on TV. But I will admit, I'm not one that gets really embarrassed easily. Like, it's life. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all want to hear the whole story, hop on my podcast. I'll tell you why there's a landline in my vicinity, but I'm going to count my landline as a blessing at this point in my life. Okay?
Plug that podcast. What's a podcast, sis?
Buckets, Boards, and Blocks with my bro, King McClure. We had two of the Baylor guys on this week. It was actually fire.
Oh, the natty champs. The ones that look like grown men out
Honey,
there.
Honey, somebody said, and I know you can appreciate this, somebody said Baylor played defense like they was sick of the shell drill.
Oh, look, if they say one final possession of shell drill for anyone listening on ESPN radio, it's where like you literally just have to go out there and play defense
all
and hustle from hell defense.
Out.
Like, they were like, oh, if you do this right, we're done with practice. They were hooping that hard, and that's the highest level it can get. Sis, it's okay. I've been there. The most embarrassing thing that's happened to me, honestly, we were doing the show, Shanae and Gold Jr., and I was telling everyone, like, NECA's such a good cook. NECA's here. She was visiting, making me food. She I don't know what she did. She burned something? She didn't burn it, but, like, the fire alarm started going off, and we could not get it under control. And I had to force NECA to come and show her face to prove to people that it was, like, not... Like, and bring some of the food. Everyone here can verify that whole experience. So it wasn't embarrassing because, like, guess what? Like, I got food. So
Your sister was chefing for you. Like, for
thank
y'all.
Thank you. They call her Chef Neck. So it's been really fun. Man, this has been a really special run, especially here on Janae and Gold Jr. on First Take, everywhere that we've been able to take over the networks. But we did see something happen on social media that was really unfortunate. We've been playing his music all day, and unfortunately, he has passed away. Rest in peace to the rapper DMX, who the news broke today that, you know, obviously he has passed. And this is someone that has inspired a lot of people, you know, started off as a young kid with not much and made himself a legend through his talents. And so there are a lot of people that resonated with his music and his ferocity. I mean, Hoopers, you're seeing on ESPN Plus, like, coming to him. And so obviously it's a tough day for everyone who sort of loved his music and just loved him in general.
Yeah. I well said, Chanae. I will say this. I love all the stories coming down our timeline of people remembering where they were when this song came out or what the song represents to them. But I think our friend, Sydney Colson, one of your colleagues in the WNBA, I just retweeted her because, I mean, I think she made a really poignant point. Like, while music glorifies some of the tough things that people go through, like, there's nothing to play with in terms of drug addiction. And I don't mean to turn this into a PSA, Chanae, but I think that's real. Like, that man was only 50. And while he gave us a ton to remember him by, he still was only 50. So I hope people are taking care of themselves.
Yes, take it very seriously. And it's a very extremely tough day because I know we also lost the Duke of Edinburgh and Prince Philip. So, I mean, just hold the people that you love close. Tell them that you love them. And obviously, this is significant loss for everyone today. But, you know, we are here, and I appreciate you, Monica, for sharing your space with me. We've had so much fun. Sis, we got to run this back whenever we can. Hope you have an absolutely great weekend.
You too, girl. Get some
rest too.
You need the rest. I will be working. I can afford to work. You get the rest.
Oh, good, man. That's a wrap for the ladies. Golic Jr. back in the saddle with me Monday. I've missed my boo. Spain and Fitz next. Jason Fitz holding it down. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.